Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the title of the message today is Chesed, the love that will not let go. A love that will not let go. No English word, or actually any language, really captures the word Chesed fully. It's usually translated with the following words: mercy, faithfulness, or steadfast faithfulness, or steadfast love, grace. But maybe the best way to describe it is this way, is that when the person from whom I have a right to expect nothing gives me everything, when the person from whom I have a right to expect nothing from gives me everything. Our text is from the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea is painful, yet a beautiful portrait of God's love. It's a story of divine love that refuses to let go even when betrayed repeatedly. God commanded Hosea to marry Gomer, a wife of ill repute. And Hosea was commanded to live out his life with her. And the grief and relentless faithfulness of Yahweh towards Israel. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, and Gomer had three children. Their children's names became walking sermons of judgment and yet seeds of future mercy. Jezreel, God sows, Lo Ruhama, God, no mercy, and then Lo Ami, which means not my people. Through this living parable, the Lord exposes the depth of unfaithfulness of the Israelites while unveiling the mysterious depth of his own chesed, his own love and mercy. His steadfast covenant love that will not be defeated even by adultery. This morning we will once again discover that chesed describes a loyal, unbreakable, merciful love that God has for his people and for you. A love rooted not in our worthiness or performance, but in his own faithful love, in his own faithful character and promises. Even when we are unfaithful, he remains committed. We will discover that God's chesed is the relentless, pursuing love of the divine husband who refuses, who never gives up, to abandon his adulterous bride. It's a loyal love that disciplines, forgives, and restores. In Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, God tells Hosea, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge my guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. This is not a moody abandonment of a jilted lover. It kind of sounds like that. But the holy and loving discipline of God. You see, Israel had sold herself with the Baals, the idols. They had trusted in foreign powers. They had perverted justice. And they substituted empty ritual for an intimate relationship with her God. The priests, the princesses, and the people were all alike. They were all corrupt. God's withdrawal, his hiding of his face, is severe mercy. Why? Let me give you an example. A couple months ago, I had a couple biopsies done on a couple spots, and one came back as precancerous. So the doctor had me return to his office to punish me. No, not really though, right? He didn't punish me. It hurt. He made a 3-inch incision and cut out this spot. Not to punish me, but to make sure the cancer was removed. I had to be cut before I could be healed of the malady. And the people of Hosea recognize this. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, they proclaim, "The Lord tears so that he might bind up. He brings distress not to destroy, but to expose the terminal sickness of sin and drive his people back to the only one who can save." This theme runs through the prophets and into the New Testament. Hebrews 12:6 says it this way: The Lord disciplines the ones he loves. In our own lives, in our seasons of spiritual dryness, in our seasons of suffering, in our seasons of what appears to be divine silence, these things, those times, often serve the same purpose: to strip away our self-sufficiency and our idols, so we might acknowledge our guilt and seek his face in truth. The people's response to this, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. And after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him." These words, what, carry a haunting echoes of the resurrection hope, right? That would one day be filled in Christ. Yet God's response is devastating. What does God respond to this declaration of faith? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away. Their love here for a second, and then like vapor, they and we return to our cheap loves. The people's repentance was emotional, which is okay, it's good, but momentary and self-serving. It's like dew, God says, that evaporates under the first heat of the day. And that's a problem for us as well. We can master the language of repentance while our heart remains unchanged. Forgive. Forgive us, Lord, as we've forgiven those who have sinned against us. Oh, but that person, right? We turn right there when we see that person again that hurt us. How do we let go? We can perform the rites and speak the prayers and post spiritual sentiments on Facebook that all sound so great, and still withhold the one thing God desires: chesed, and the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is not mere information. It is that intimacy, like that of a husband and wife, to know God, to intimately know God. Loyal, personal, transformative, exclusive. You and only you, God. Without this, religion becomes idolatry and religious clothing. The Lord cries out, "For I desire chesed, steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." This is not a rejection of the sacrificial system, but a radical reordering of priorities. God instituted the sacrifices. Yet sacrifices became an abomination when divorced from the heart. They just became a thing we have to do. What God longs for is a marriage bond restored, unwavering loyalty, tender mercy, deep relational knowing that produces obedience and love for our neighbors. And that exposes the depth of our disease. We were created for communion with God. Yet sin has turned us into spiritual adulterers who chase everything but Him. Our hearts are factories of idols. Yet into this betrayal steps the bridegroom, the one who will not abandon His bride. Jesus fulfills every layer of Hosea's prophecy here. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus approaches Matthew, the tax collector, a traitor to His people, a public sinner, and says, "Follow me." Then He reclines at the table with tax collectors and sinners. And when the Pharisees object, Jesus quotes Hosea directly. "Go," Jesus says, "go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, chesed. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." You see, Jesus is a faithful husband who loves the unfaithful. Let me say that again. Jesus is a faithful husband that loves the unfaithful. He is a great physician who seeks out the sickest patients. He does not wait for us to manufacture righteousness or superficial repentance. He comes to us in our tax booths, in our shame, in our idolatry, and calls us by grace. On the cross, the bridegroom was torn for His bride's unfaithfulness. He bore the withdrawal of the Father, my God, why have You forsaken Me? So that we, that you and I, will never be abandoned. And on the third day, precisely as Hosea's words foreshadowed, He rose, raising us with Him to live before God. In Romans chapter 4, Paul explains how this new life is received. The promise God gave Abraham was not earned by keeping the law or doing religious works. It came through faith. Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead and creates things out of nothing. Even though his body was old and was good as dead, and Sarah could not have children, Abraham trusted God's mercy anyway and His promises. His faith was counted to him as righteousness. And that same is true for you and me. When we believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead, who was delivered up for our sins and raised up for our justification, that same faith is credited to us as righteousness, just like Abraham's. This is a deep knowledge of God that the prophet Hosea longed for. God justifies the ungodly, raises the spiritual dead, and stays faithful even when we are faithless. In Jesus, God's chesed, God's steadfast, loyal love, Jesus became a human being and lived among us. He showed perfect love all the way to death and beyond. Jesus is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness calls us to return to the Lord, not with fleeting words, but with a heart that clings to Christ alone. God's faithfulness calls us to acknowledge our guilt, then behold our Savior who was torn for you. To press on to know this God who desires you more than your sacrifices. Follow Him, as Matthew did. Recline at His table with other redeemed sinners and go show forth the chesed, the mercy that you have received from him. You see, Jesus is the faithful husband, has redeemed his adulterous bride, the church. The physician has healed the terminally ill. The judge has justified the ungodly. This is chesed, the steadfast love, his steadfast love that endures forever. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.